Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Eddie Johnson is going to join us coming up here in a moment. But before we get to him, it's time for the UNA Golf Masters giveaway. Be caller number 12 right now, 855-340-ZONE, and find out what player you'll get in this year's Masters tournament. Lloyd will assign you a golfer, and if your golfer wins, you will receive the same brand of driver that that player has in their bag. Call right now, 855-340-ZONE. It's all brought to you by UNA Golf. Serving Utah golfers since 1971. All right, Eddie Johnson is going to join us here in just a moment. We'll chat some Phoenix Suns with him as he is part of their broadcast crew as the Jazz take on the Suns tonight in a game that I think we're all really, really looking forward to and should be really fun to see how this game plays out tonight.
Such a good game, man. We just don't get a ton of playoff-like games through a regular season. And this has every part of a playoff game. Every part. Both rosters are healthy. Both starting fives on the court. Both first rotators, second rotators. You've got coaches that are primed. You've got two teams that are 9-1 in the last 10 games. So they're playing at the top of their game. You've got the Jazz that should be a little bit motivated because they just got knocked off by a Dallas Mavericks team that's not as good as Phoenix. Like, there are a lot of reasons why tonight's game is going to be as enjoyable and as interesting as any game the Jazz have played so far this season.
Well, to help break it down, Eddie Johnson from Fox Sports Arizona, an analyst, and can break down the game better than any of us. And, Eddie, you know, it's funny. Every time we bring you on and we start to promote, and it's been a minute since you played in the league, but everybody's like, oh, man, I can't get past that 97 shot. Or this game when he put up 33 against the Jazz. Man, you were the Jazz killer back in the day.
Well, I mean, I played them enough. I mean, I had a lot of contests against them in my career. I've never really counted, but I probably played against Utah more than any team probably in my almost 1,200 games I played. But I appreciate you promoting me, but let me add one more thing. I do have a national radio show on Sirius XM called NBA Today with Justin Termini and myself, and it's from 4 to 7 Eastern Time, Monday through Friday. Okay, now we can go.
There we go. I love it, man. Absolutely.
Give that thing a listen. So, Eddie, one of the things that I've been looking at is some of the stars in today's NBA and their focus on the Utah Jazz. Did you place extra emphasis when you played against the Jazz, knowing how good they were at that time? And do you think players right now are putting more into these Jazz games?
Well, I think anything. I mean, you knew when you played Utah that you were going to have to play a full 48 minutes. And you knew that you were going to have to deal with them getting to more than one or two options within every play. And historically, it's always been the same. You haven't had many coaches in this franchise's history. Was it about five or six? So, you know, they pretty much have played the same way regardless of the coach. Very methodical, unselfish. And you knew that you were going to have to play extremely hard and concentrate in order to beat them. And so, yeah, I guess I would agree with you. I think them more than anything. And then, too, you know, when the fans are in the stands, I mean, they probably have the best fans in the league, especially in regarding to irritating you. And I had my fun with Utah Jazz fans over the years. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the banter back and forth. And I think they really and truly do have a home court advantage. And so, yeah, I think from a player perspective, I think you're correct.
You know, last year wasn't particularly great for Phoenix until they got in the bubble and then got hot, went undefeated in the bubble. Did that momentum kind of carry over into this season?
Of course. I think I've always believed that. You know, your preceding year carries over. And even as an individual player, I mean, you know, I got better my first six, 7 years in the league because I learned from the prior year and I went home and worked on things. And I think that's what the Suns did. The 8-0 in the bubble gave them a lot of confidence, gave them some hope, and they could see that if they do play well at a high level, they could win. And then with the addition of Chris Paul, this took it to a new level. So, yeah, well, without a doubt, I mean, it carries over. And the Suns are showing that right now.
I was looking at the last 10 games for Phoenix, and they're playing extremely well, playing unified. I want to know, I just want to know from your point of view, Devin Booker, his performance, his contributions, how much of a role and how much of what is happening right now is on the back of Devin Booker?
A lot. I mean, I appreciate your question, and I'm not getting on you, but that general question right there is, I think, what drives him nuts. Because we're at a point now, what else can he do? I mean, he might be one of the most efficient players in the league. He's averaging about 25 points. He's averaged about 36 over his last three games. We know he's a bona fide scorer because he's proven that on a losing team. Now he's still doing it on a winning team and shooting almost 50% from the field and close to 40 from the three-point line, and then about 87% from the free throw line. Is not too many efficient two guards in the league better than Devin Booker. All due respect to Donovan Mitchell there in Utah. I think he's doing a fantastic job. And if anybody that knows me know I don't eat my words, he's not better than Devin Booker. And because Devin's proven it with his stats and his winning. Last year you could make that argument because Donovan Mitchell won more. But this year, the way Devin Booker has raised up from 34 wins, not making the playoffs, to having the second-best record in the league, and then efficiency-wise, what he's doing, I think he's having a fantastic season.
Chris Paul also having a fantastic season. And when I say this, it sometimes it can be misconstrued that he's only adding level of intensity in the locker room, but not on the court. Uh-huh. He's having a tremendous year with 16 points and 9 assists a game. But also, has he helped this team mature and kind of help figure out what it's like to be a professional and what it takes to win game in and game out?
Without a doubt. I mean, you don't win in this league without veterans. You just don't. I mean, you guys have a guy in Joe Ingles who I really love, and he takes a hit. You know, sometimes he doesn't get the minutes I think he deserves, but you never hear anything from him. All he does is go out there and defend, shoot the ball, and just play. And every team needs that kind of guy. They need a guy to lead by example, but also a guy that can produce. And Chris Paul, over the last two seasons now at Oklahoma City and Phoenix, has proven that he's one of the greatest leaders that we've ever had in this game. And if you listen to him, you're going to have success. Now, unfortunately for him, they didn't listen to him in Houston. And, you know, and then they fought him in L.A. But he has two teams over the last 2 years where they actually are listening to him, and he's having a lot of success. And so, no doubt, I mean, it's very difficult to look at both of those guys and say, okay, who's the best player on the team, because they're doing different things. I mean, Devin is doing it with his scoring ability, his ability just to make people just work hard, double team. And then Chris Paul's doing it with his shot making when he has to, but also his leadership and helping Mikal Bridges and DeAndre Ayton reach the limits that they're capable of.
Eddie, what do you think the league's perception of Rudy Gobert is? I'm talking from a player's point of view, and I almost ask you to put yourself back in your playing shoes and going against the Jazz and Rudy. Do they respect him? Do they hate him? What's their thought and their feel about going against and playing against Rudy Gobert?
He's a 7-foot center, man. That's all it is. I don't think anybody dislikes Rudy Gobert. It's just a mindset of the way people view the game, which is archaic and silly. You know, because he's not out there going between his legs and shooting freaking threes and all of that, people don't look at him as being very impactful. I happen to think he's the most important player on your team. If anybody deserves any kind of MVP mention, it's him. Because you take Rudy Gobert off that team, and think about it. I think your top four guys right now, I think, are shooting low 40s.
Yeah.
Okay? Without Rudy Gobert, you'd be middle of the pack. That's how important. Because you're not beating people every night shooting low 40s from your key guys. And he keeps the game close. So he's having a tremendous season. And you know, for whatever reason, he's the most important player on that team, so I wouldn't be shocked if he got MVP consideration because I think without him, I don't think you all will probably be. You'd probably be fifth or sixth spot.
It was just weird here in Salt Lake City when you had Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert as all-stars and LeBron and KD picked them dead last, and it just kind of made me think, what do they think of this guy?
Well, again, I mean – you know, it's an all-star game. So what's Rudy going to do in the all-star game? Seriously. Embarrass himself? All of a sudden, Rudy going to try to start shooting threes? He just doesn't fit. I mean, he earned the honor to be an all-star, without a doubt. But he doesn't fit in an all-star, quote-unquote, game. Right? It just doesn't jive well. And so that's why. I don't think LeBron had any disrespect for him or anything like that. I just think it's just more so that all-star games for him is, you know, is not going to entail anything of beauty. And then with Donovan Mitchell, he just, you know, again, it's a plethora of guards. I don't think it's any disrespect at all. I don't think those guys should take it that way. If you want to talk about disrespect, why don't you go interview Devin Booker? That's disrespect. I mean, at least they made the all-star team.
Yeah. He was an alternate, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's alternate. So, you know, so that's the way I look at it.
Eddie, I love your perspective on the game and your insight from a guy that's been around it for so long. But just going back from when you played, would you ever imagine a team shooting and looking at your son's stats, a team right now that is averaging 34 attempts per game, and that's 15th highest in the league? I mean, that's a far cry from when you played back in the day.
It is. And here's the deal. I mean, like, in the Suns are an example of analytics and old school. And that, for me, I mean, if you all follow me on Twitter, I mean, analytic people can't stand me. And I don't care. Because I understand how the game should be played. And in regards to having a balance in how you can score. And the Suns are a mid-range team, and they're a three-point shooting team. Chris Paul, Devin Booker are supreme mid-range players. Mikal Bridges is turning into one. You got DeAndre Ayton in the post. The Suns are doing everything that analytic people tried to take away, right? I mean, Roy Hibbert was having a great run in his career until they all of a sudden said centers need to be shooting three and space out, and all of a sudden he was out of the league. And I think, you know, what the Suns are doing right now, I think, leads to consistency come playoff time. And this is where the Jazz need to watch out, because they take a ton of threes. And like I said, guys, they're shooting 40%. So when they're not making those threes, then what? And I think that's the difference right now between Phoenix and between any other team right now, Dallas especially as well. And Philly plays a lot like Phoenix, mid-range players, also the three-point shot. And I think that's coming back now, and I think that's the way to win. Lakers won the title last year. Why? Because mid-range, post-up, and three-pointers. They did all three. And I just think that's the balance you should have. And unfortunately for Utah, they don't have that back-to-the-basket guy. I think Derek Favors, maybe, you know, if you give him some touches. But I think that's an issue for them as we break down the season. But, you know, without a doubt, Utah's having a tremendous year. So I don't want you all to think I'm the Jazz. I think they've played tremendous. They've been consistent. And it's going to be a fun game tonight.
You know, there's a lot of love here for Quinn Snyder. And I would say that a lot of people believe that a large portion of the success is due to Quinn Snyder and what he's done as a head coach. I'm curious to know how Suns fans feel about Monty Williams and his performance since, I think, he came in the 2019 season. How's he doing? How are fans responding? And how much a part of what we're seeing success-wise for the Suns is due to what he's doing?
Oh, a lot of it. And Chris Paul helped him take it to the next level, and then Devin blending in to what he had to do took it to a higher level. No, I actually believe that the award is going to come down between Monty Williams and Quinn Snyder. I think Monty has a short lead because of where the Suns started from. Utah came into this season with expectations because of what they did last year. Disappointment, obviously, losing in the playoffs was a tremendous series. And then, you know, the Suns right now coming from 34. So I think it's up to Quinn Snyder and Monty Williams with Tom Thibodeau peeking in from the outside. But no, I love Quinn Snyder, one of the coolest coaches in the league. You know, I've said that to him a few times. You know, I mean, you know, he thinks he's cool. You know, the nice outfits, real tight Italian.
Good hair.
On. That's the way you should. Yeah, that's the way you should do it. But no, he's been tremendous. He really has. And he knows, too. He knows if he has success in Utah, he'll coach there for 20 years, because you all don't change coaches.
What are some of your memories, favorite memories of going up against Jerry Sloan, speaking of coaches here forever?
Love him. I love him. I told him many times I wish I'd played for him. Just never had the opportunity. I loved him as a coach. I competed with him so much. He ran play. He ran defensive schemes to stop me, and I had to adjust just with the ups and downs. And he knew that I talked a lot of junk, and he would laugh sometimes when I come up by the bench and talk smack to the players. You know, he knew it wasn't personal. I never really got personal with anything, but I did talk a lot of smack, and a few times he used to laugh. And Phil Johnson was assistant coach, and he obviously was the guy that really convinced me to go to sixth man back when I did it back in 1987. So a lot of love for Utah, a lot of love for the fans. I never sensed any negative, conversations when I was there. But they did get on me a lot, and it was back and forth. And yeah, so I wish you all the best, only when you're not playing us.
Well, I don't know. Did you overlap with Vernon Maxwell or not? Because, boy, he sure has some fun with Utah on Twitter.
Yes, of course. Of course. I follow Vernon. I think it's pretty funny. Vernon is a lot nicer than what you think. And it's pretty funny, the back and forth. And nobody should take it personally.
No.
Eddie, did you ever deal with a high ankle sprain?
Hey guys, 1 second. So you all going to hear me order my lunch. It's going to go over the air, okay?
All right, let's see what you got. I'm excited to hear what's on the order.
All right, I want the caprese, shrimp and chicken. I want it double wrapped in a tortilla, okay? And then a house-made lemonade. No, that's it. And you were just on national radio.
chicken and shrimp double wrapped. Did you say double wrapped?
Yeah, shrimp and chicken, man. It's salad to go. Y'all got salad to go there? And I'm doing an infomercial for salad to go right now.
No salad to go out here.
Man, the move, man. I'm telling you, come down to Arizona, you got to get it.
I was going to ask you, Eddie, did you ever have a high ankle sprain like LeBron's dealing with? And how much is this going to set the Lakers back, you think?
I didn't jump high enough. I'm sorry. Mike Brown once kicked me in my calf, and I was out for a month. And I told Mike about it. I said, I don't like you. That's the only way I ever get hurt is somebody kick me, man. But, no, high ankle sprain is, here's the deal, guys, and you all know this. That dude is a freak of nature, man. And you see him last night over on the sideline. I happen to think he's not going to come back until Anthony Davis comes back. That's his mindset. And here you go, man. That's his mindset. And, I just don't put nothing past that dude, man. He's a freak of nature. I'm just trying to figure out why all these guys that get injured, they don't follow his blueprint. Like in Brooklyn right now, you got hamstring problems. I mean, you got all this. And I'm just trying to figure out why they don't follow that guy's blueprint, because I think he is the best machine that's ever played sports, not just in the NBA. He just knows what to do. And so, yeah, I think he'll be back. So, Utah fans, don't think he's not going to be back. we're going to have to go through him. He's the boogeyman.
Yeah.
He's the boogeyman. Brooklyn's over there trying to sign 18 guys. I mean, I'm trying to figure out how many more they need, because they're worried about him. And they need to be worried about Joel Embiid. That's what they need to be worried about. But they're worried about LeBron in the West. But it's going to be a heck of a playoff run, and it's going to be fun to see.
Well, Eddie, enjoy lunch, man. We appreciate it. Have a great call tonight. Looking forward to catching up with you in the future, man. This has been a fun conversation.
Good, and I always like talking to Utah stations, because I like to still irritate the fans a little bit. So.
Utah loves you, Eddie.
I'm sure they're going to rip me after, because I said Devin Booker was better than Donovan Mitchell. I already know that, so have fun.
Look, you're still not in Vernon Maxwell's zip code, so you'll always be okay. All right, man.
Guys, take care.
Thanks, Eddie.
Right.
Eddie Johnson played in the league forever, I think 16 years in the league as a player, and now part of Fox Sports Arizona. Will be on the call tonight as the Jazz take on Phoenix.
And he did not mince words in that interview.
I love it, man. I love it. Look, like what they say, hate what they have to say. I love guys that come on and just say whatever they want to say.
Yeah, really good stuff. Man, that's such a tough debate. Devin Booker and Donovan Mitchell, and it always will be.
Yeah.
Devin averaging 25 26.9 points per game right now. Donovan at 25.4 points per game. You know, I asked Eddie how much weight is put on Devin in this current win streak, and he's like, that's why.
It's all of it.
That's why he's bugged.
Yeah.
Because a guy like you out in Utah is asking how much weight is put on Devin. And he's like, everything's put on Devin. Just like everything's scoring-wise is put on Donovan.
Wow. Hands and Scotty, this is 97.5, 1280 The Zone. Ryan Odom, the new head coach at Utah State, joins us next.
Slow Mo Joe.
The Joe Ingles Show with DJ and PK.
How scary was it with that flight for you?
I don't want to say that I'm just happy to be here, but it was scary. I've played professionally since I was 17, and I've never been through something like that. For my kid's life, I, for a good few minutes there, was like, we're going down. I think everyone on the plane at some point for some amount of time was praying or whatever they were doing, hoping that we were going to stay afloat. The pilot came over eventually and kind of explained what happened, and him being as calm as he was a little bit annoying because we were all crapping our decks, but he was pretty calm and I think kind of settled everyone down. So very scary experience, and I hope it happens to no one ever again because it wasn't fun. Yeah, it definitely rattled the group a little bit.
Oh yeah. Catch jazz man Joe Ingles with DJ and PK every Thursday morning on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Hanson Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Hope you're all having a tremendous day. Ryan Odom, head coach at Utah State, will join us coming up here in just a moment. Get his thoughts on taking over for Craig Smith and taking over the program in Logan that has had a tremendous amount of success over the last few years.
Excited to catch up with him, and it was nice to catch up there with Ryan Newman, too. Get out there with Rocky Mountain Outfitters. Those are good dudes, really good dudes. And I've been on that Provo River. Scotty, I was fishing that Provo River back when I showed up in 1996 to play at BYU, and I couldn't catch those stupid fish. They're learned. They know what they're looking for.
Yeah.
And they're not just going to eat any regular average Joe fly. And you've got to really present well. And that's what Rocky Mountain Outfitters is going to teach you to do, is present well on the Provo, what flies they're looking for. Because they do have trophy fish in there.
Yeah.
And you know they're there, but you just can't get them. But you can with Ryan. Give him a call, 801-380-0697. Good people.
So Ryan Odom's going to join us coming up here in just a moment. We'll talk with him about Utah State and taking over a program. And, you know, it's interesting. His first two head coaching jobs were programs that needed some help and needed to be built up, and he built them up quickly with big win improvements in year one. He doesn't have to do that at Utah State. You got a team that's ready to roll, that knows winning, that's been a championship team, and you wonder if the message is different. You and I talked about this a little bit. If you have to deliver a different message to a team that doesn't need a rebuild, that just needs to keep going and improving, and not just getting to the tournament, but winning games once you get into the tournament.
You have a kind of a different perspective. Is this going to be your first interaction with him?
Yes, I have not had a chance to chat with him.
Oh, geez. Well, he's about to start a relationship that will be daily.
Whether he likes it or not. Yeah,
I mean, I don't know if he knows what he's about to jump into. Does he know that he's jumping into his conversation with what will be his second wife during the season?
Oh, boy. I don't think so.
Because
I was just kind of just
Ease into that a little bit.
Because
by the time Craig Smith was done, he was like, yeah. I mean, some of the stories, you guys spent hours and hours together.
Yeah, yeah. Well, joining us now, he's the new head coach at Utah State, Ryan Odom, kind enough to join us right here on the Zone Sports Network. Coach, how are you?
I'm wonderful. Yeah, excited to be here in Utah.
Well, congratulations on the gig. You know, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about when you took over at Lenoir Ryan. That was a team that was a 7-8 win team, and you had to jump up about 13, 14 wins that year one. Same thing at UMBC. You had a dramatic win increase in year one. here. You don't need that huge win increase. You just now need to keep things going with a team that's been winning and winning at a high level over the last 3 years. Do you deliver a different message to a team given this situation as opposed to maybe the message to your teams over the last two teams you've coached?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, I think obviously you're correct in that, you know, the two previous stops for me were programs that needed a little TLC. And, you know, I think what I inherited there was, you know, a group that, you know, doubted themselves and needed a little push and belief, you know, instilled in them. And yeah, I had to establish a winning culture. They weren't used to winning. And so, you know, I think that's what we tried to do at both of those places. And I told the guys today, you know, here at Utah State, this is different. You guys have an established tradition. You have a winning culture that, you know, our alums and Aggie faithful are proud of. And what our job now is to take it to the next step. And, you know, is it a guarantee? You know, I asked the guys today, is it a guarantee that you're just going to win? Absolutely not. You have to work, and you have to continue to do the things that lead to winning over and over again. And, you know, it's a process for us to get to know one another. And you know, I'm excited about the opportunity here to, you know, build upon this foundation that all the former players and coaches that have, you know, donned the Aggie uniform here, you know, and hopefully we can keep this thing going and take it to the next step, which obviously we know what that is, and that's advancing in the NCAA tournament.
When you originally jumped into coaching back in 1996, what was it that brought you to a career of coaching?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's all I've known, you know, my entire life. And, you know, I would tell you, when I was in college, my junior year of college at Hampton, Sydney, it was our best season that we had. We were 28-3 and lost in the final eight to Bo Ryan and his Wisconsin Platteville team. But that summer I did an internship at Bank of America, and I'd always thought growing up, you know, my father's gone all the time. He works, you know, while basketball is awesome, you know, he's gone a lot. I don't get to see my dad a ton. You know, the recruiting rules were way different back then. And so I'd always thought, you know, once I'm done, I'll get into the financial world and just kind of move on and still support dad and watch his games while he's coaching. And, you know, I got to a point where I was like, oh, my gosh, you know, I always loved to play. And then it was time for me to give it up, and I wasn't going to be able to play anymore. And I was like, my brother was coaching at the time and kind of starting his career off. My father was kind of at the height of his career at Wake Forest, where they'd won back-to-back championships. And I decided I'm not quite ready to give this ball up that I love so much. It's been so good to our family. And, you know, I got into it because of that initially. And obviously the reasons I've stayed in it have drastically changed. You know, I've gotten older, obviously, taken over programs, and the ability to have lasting relationships with players and help them grow as people, you know, during their time, you know, we're together. That's what really what it's all about. And, you know, the wins and the losses, you know, happen. And certainly we're all trying to win. But at the same time, you know, there's bigger goals out there as well. And that's helping these young people that are at a key time in their life, very impressionable and need mentorship. And certainly that's what I try to do. But we want to be competitive as well and chase excellence.
Ryan Odom, new head coach of Utah State, kind enough to join us here on the Zone Sports Network. When you look at a job like this and you're going through the interview process, do you spend a lot of time going through synergy and looking at players and looking at scheme and what these guys do well? Do you spend a lot of time kind of getting a bird's eye view of what you're inheriting when you take over a job like this?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you have to. You're crazy not to. You know, if you're deeply involved, you know, in a search, you want to make sure you know kind of what you have. You know, if you're fortunate enough to get the job. And so certainly I'll do that with this situation. We have a good team coming back. Obviously we're losing a really good player and an NBA player, a future NBA player. And that's happened 2 years in a row, but that's also a good thing. When you think about it, because it allows you to recruit to that. All right. It's something that at other stops that I've had, we haven't had. And, you know, the cupboard certainly is not bare here. We've got, you know, a good group coming back, and a group that cares about one another, a group that clearly is connected, a group that's been coached extremely well and knows how to win. And, you know, I've been pleasantly surprised, you know, and really excited about talking to these guys. You know, certainly I've had some one-on-one conversations with them by phone, met with the whole team face-to-face today, which was a lot of fun. And they were a talkative group, you know, which was really impressive to me.
Coach, I'm sure that you've probably had to answer this a million times, but it's not very often you get to talk to a man that has a rare historic achievement that is a one of its kind. And you had a 16 seed win over a number one seed Virginia team. And I just want to know what went into the preparation of that game, and what went into the win, knowing that you're 16 against a one, and that's never happened before.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't go into that game, you know, seeking to make history. You know, we wanted to go into that game, compete at the highest level, and try to win. And, you know, for us, I think, you know, we benefited, you know, from in our conference championship game and throughout our conference, you know, Vermont's an excellent team, you know, and they play a very similar style to University of Virginia. And so we ended up, we're fortunate enough to win that game, you know, in a last second shot, you know, in a tie game, you know, similar to the shot here that Sam Merrill made, a couple of years back. And, that you know, propelled us into the NCAA tournament, and all of the preparation that we, you know, worked, you know, that last week leading up to that Vermont game helped us as we prepared for Virginia. Virginia was a whole different ball game, because at that point they were just coming off an ACC championship where they beat Carolina in the final, and they were playing the best basketball of the year of the season relative to their opponents or peers. And they were the most well-balanced team in all of college basketball that year. It's no secret that, you know, DeAndre Hunter broke his hand. So that certainly was a factor going into that game. One of their better players. It was kind of a six-man, but he was a go-to guy when they got in tough situations. They didn't have him all of a sudden, you know, for the tournament. And so that's, in their defense, it's a hard thing when you lose a good player like that going in. But, you know, our guys, you know, were not afraid. One thing I learned about that particular team that I was fortunate enough to coach was that they were not afraid of anyone. We had played Arizona. We had DeAndre Ayton early in the season, and that was a tight game in the middle of the second half. They ran away with it at the end. And then, you know, we were up on SMU. It was coming off of a 30-win season by 13. They ended up winning by a few overs in one of the first two games. And my starting point guard didn't play in those two games. And so we knew after those two that we had a chance to be really good that year. And that group, you know, when you have veteran guards, like I was fortunate enough to coach that year, you have a chance. And, you know, we were just able to hang in it in that first half, defend at a really high level. And then we had a run that, you know, I had seen our team make against other teams, but not against that caliber of an opponent.
Ryan Odom, kind enough to join us right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone, new coach at Utah State. Coach, I had a chance to chat with a couple members of the Jazz front office and was picking their brains. I know that you had relationships with some of them, and the one thing I kept getting back was he runs a modern offense. There's a lot of NBA stuff that he runs. Without getting in the weeds too much on X's and O's, kind of talk about your offensive philosophy and what you've seen that's worked for you throughout the years.
Yeah, I mean, I think open court, you know, we like to space the court really well, you know, much like the NBA does, much like a lot of the European teams do, quite honestly, overseas. You know, I steal stuff from others, you know, without a doubt, and I certainly create my own, you know, as well. But, you know, we play a versatile style of basketball. You know, the best teams in college basketball are efficient on both sides. And so that's what we'll strive to be. You know, we'll strive to be an efficient team on offense, a team that, you know, gets to the basket and can score around the rim and can score in isolation situations. We'll certainly be a team that gets fouled, and attempts to get fouled and get to the free throw line to put pressure on the defense. And then also, you got to be able to shoot now in today's game. You've got to have the shooters outside the arc to make them have to chase you a little bit to help your drivers, you know, get inside the defense. And then defensively, you want to do the opposite of everything that I just said. Guard the rim really well. Don't foul and contest those threes. And so that's kind of how we play. I know it's a simplistic answer there for you, but we had a very versatile team last year, and you know I've got to get in the gym with these guys here to see kind of what will complement this team in terms of recruiting and what we can add to this current roster, and then what are their strengths and what are their weaknesses and how can I help them with that? And that's what coaching is all about. And so the work begins now.
Coach, give me your philosophy on players and the transfer portal, players that leave for the transfer portal and getting players from the transfer portal. How do you use it and how do you manage it?
Yeah, I think Utah State's uniquely positioned right now. And it's one of the reasons that, I'm so excited about this position here, because if you really think about it, you've got the Power Five schools, who kind of those programs are that year in and year out are competing for a national championship. And they'll lose players, like really good players, year in and year out that just they're really good, but they can't crack that lineup. And so they're looking for a soft landing spot, but they don't want to give up the level so much. And I think that's where a school like us fits in. You can get really good players that, want to find a place where they really care about basketball. All right, they're passionate about it. The fans get into it. You have that home court atmosphere and advantage that all players want to play in. And, I mean, they'd be lying if they told you they didn't. They wanted to play in an empty gym. Nobody wants to play in an empty gym. You want to hear the herd, getting after the opponent and cheering for you. And so I think from that perspective, we are really in a good place, because then you talk about the low majors, you'll have guys that at the low major level are really good and have, average 20 a game or whatever it is, and they want to find a place that's a little bit more competitive for their game, and they can go up. And so we're kind of right in that, in that sweet spot, where players can come down and players can go up. And not everybody has that. And when they go out and look for winning programs, we can sell that. Three straight NCAA tournaments, two straight NBA picks, hopefully, and, tradition, to sell. And so I'm thrilled and honored to be the coach here.
When you, obviously coming from back east and, the furthest west you've been is, North Carolina. How important is it when you put a staff together to have maybe some connections out west, or is that important to have when you're putting a staff together that can recruit out in this part of the United States?
Yeah, I think the key there is just, I have a responsibility. I have a responsibility to do what's best for Utah State, and certainly putting a staff together is huge. One coach doesn't win it, and you're only as strong as the people that are around you. And certainly, people that are mentoring, our team and our players. And so, I'm fortunate in that, I do have a good staff at UMBC. I'll have to kind of wait and see how that, plays out. But we are in a different, geographic footprint. And so, naturally, that's an important factor, here for sure. And, we'll move quickly with that and as quickly as possible, but we won't rush to a point where we're making bad decisions. And so the key for me is having guys on my staff that push me, that challenge me, all right, that will share our set of values, core values, and we'll be committed to that. And then guys that are all about the team and all about helping kids. And are good family men as well. I mean, doesn't mean you have to be married or whatever, but do they care about their family? And I think that's an important thing for me as well.
Well, Coach, I don't know how much you know about my co-host here, Scott Girard. He is your play-by-play voice, and
Coach,
Scotty G.
Yeah. Oh, look at that.
This is Scotty G.
Coach, I apologize in advance for the many conversations we're going to have.
He is a Broadcaster of the Year award winner. He just won it this year. Okay. So,
Oh my gosh, congratulations. I love it.
He's very accomplished. He loves smoking, barbecuing. So hopefully you guys can find some common interests. There we go.
Yeah, I like to cook too. My wife wouldn't tell you that, but.
Hey, I got to ask you, Coach, you mentioned this in your conference. So everything you've done is out east, and North Carolina is the furthest west you got, but you asked your wife to marry you here in Utah?
I did. How about that? Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, how did that end up?
We wanted to go on a trip, and we just picked Utah, and I have no idea why we did that, you know, because that was 21 years ago or whatever. We just wanted to go out west and go to the mountains, and so we came out here for a few days, and it was a crazy story. We were actually at Snowbird is where we were, and you know, we were, my plan was to, you know, get on the tram and go to the top, you know, and ask her up there, because you think about it. I mean, that's a pretty cool thing.
That's pretty impressive.
To the top of a mountain and you ask your wife to marry you, and you're just looking out going, this world is ours. Let's go experience it together.
Incredible.
And so the funny part is as we were getting ready to go up, we were like the last group to go up in the tram or whatever you call it, and a storm comes in. So we ended up, we didn't get on, and so I'm a nervous wreck, and I'm like, what am I going to do now? And so we ended up getting in the car, because we were driving towards Jackson Hole, where we were going to stay up there, get, you know, drive up through Idaho, go Snake River, that whole deal. And so we ended up driving, and I just found a spot, you know, somewhere, and asked her. So it worked out, you know. I had to, you know, they made me work for it. You know, the weather did, but it was still obviously worth it. So
you always worry about that.
Amazing how we're back here now, right?
Yeah, you always worry about that storm being symbolic, but you know, obviously things are good. So
yeah.
You know, you're like, oh,
yeah,
we've weathered. Well, hey, Coach, appreciate it again. I apologize for all the interviews we're going to have coming up, but I'll try to make them fun for you the best I can. All right.
Awesome. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Coach.
There you go. Ryan Odom, new head coach at Utah State, here on the Zone Sports Network.
And I'm sure he gave a nice, solid go Aggies. He even had the Herd.
Yeah, he got the Herd reference.
He had a lot. He actually had a lot of Utah State references.
He's done some research.
Done his homework.
All right, take a quick break. Wrap this thing up next, 97.5, 1280 The Zone. Yeah, right.
Yeah, why?
I just making sure Lloyd and I were worried about you there for a second.
I'm
the
good,
biggest,
man.
Like, growl or something.
Yeah.
Oh, I had a fierce yawn right there.
Yeah.
A mix of a yawn and a growl.
But it wasn't a yawn out of fatigue or boredom. It was a yawn out of anxiety and excitement.
Because
tonight is one of the bigger Jazz basketball games that we will get to see all year long. And I want to see how the Jazz show up. Hey, look, Eddie Johnson came on and said, Devin Booker, much better basketball player than Donovan Mitchell. Said, I don't ever eat my words. Didn't he say that?
Yeah. May have said some other words I didn't catch, but Lloyd may have had to dump, too.
He did promote He did promote Rudy Gobert. Like, said he liked Rudy. He said, he's a 7-foot big man, man. And, yes, he is. He's a big man.
He is 7 foot, and he is an NBA player. Those are all true facts.
I think Coach Odom just referenced DeAndre Ayton, and that'll be interesting too. I just think that you've got Jay Crowder, an old Jazz tough guy. You've got Chris Paul, a notorious Jazz hater. You've got Devin Booker, who's the Donovan Mitchell comparison, and everybody likes to say who they like more. You've got a Phoenix Suns team they're 9-1 in the last 10, and tonight is the night. I can't wait to get it on. Get it on.
Jeff tweets out, I always yawn when I'm anxious and excited.
uh,
I just thought it was like, you know, when you have a big meal and you're like feeling good, like just give out a big yawn. I think, you know, it's been that show today. You know, we've had a big show today. A lot of interviews, a lot of insight, a lot of analysis, a little bit of fun. It's been a good show today.
It's every day, man.
Top five, Lloyd.
Every day. Broadcast of the year. Right across from me.
Oh, man. You know,
I couldn't help but think that he strutted right after he loved, right after Coach Odom loved him up.
Yeah.
He did say, you know, he dropped the old Scotty G thing.
Oh, he's heard of you.
No, he's not. He's like, Kyle caught him, gave him the phone. He said, knows. Hey, this guy's named Scotty G. You're going to be around him a lot. You got to deal with it. So here you go.
He knows you. Yeah. He's excited. Great job today, Scotty.
Back at you. And by the way, Built Bar is the place to go right now. Keyword zone at checkout, 10% off. I tell you what. What did I have here? It was the white chocolate cherry sundae. That was awesome.
It's delicious, isn't it? Just the right amount of chew. It's just the right amount of tartness with those cherries. You can actually feel the little chunks of cherries in it. I just had the white chocolate cookies and cream, my favorite bar. These are packed with protein, packed with flavor. They're going to get you through your day. You will not yawn at the end of a show that you might be doing if you're mowing down some Built Bars.
Nope. No matter how anxious or excited you are, there will be no yawning if you eat those Built Bars. Go to BuiltBar.com, promo code ZONE, 10% off that first order. That's promo code 10, or promo code ZONE to get 10% off. It's all right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone. Big show next.